This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. Today, our show is all about what we don't know. That's right. We're going to have to admit that we, you and I, don't know some stuff. It seems we're going through life rather blindly when it comes to some very important aspects of our health. Well, I don't know about you, but that makes me very uncomfortable. Don't worry, that's about to change. Our guest today is a frequent voice on this program for one very good reason. He knows stuff. And just as important, he doesn't mind sharing what he knows with us. Physician Dr. Michael Greger is a founding member of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. He's also an author, speaker, and driving force behind a website that gets like a gazillion hits a month, nutritionfacts.org. Dr. Greger, welcome back to HeartWise.
So glad to be back.
Okay, item number one. Most of us know how cholesterol buildup or atherosclerosis in our arteries kills us. It stops blood flow. Got it. We understand. But there's something else about cholesterol that's just as dangerous that we don't know. What is it?
Yeah, well, you know, our coronary arteries, the arteries that crown our heart and feed our heart muscle, start out healthy as kids, but then the standard American diet with a saturated fat, trans fat, and cholesterol increases the cholesterol in our blood, accumulates in the artery wall, triggering that inflammatory response. You get these kind of inflamed pockets of pus within the wall of the artery, and then it can burst
yes.
into the artery. A blood clot forms, cutting off the blood flow, heart attack, and then potentially death. Number one cause of death, men and women in the United States. But there's new research on what causes that final step, the rupture of the plaque. Well, researchers at Michigan State University looked at ruptured plaques from human autopsies of people that died with heart attacks and found that what you saw was actual cholesterol crystals protruding from the plaque. So it turns out, just like supersaturated solutions of sugar water can form rock candy,
yes,
you know, when
yes.
there's just so much concentration, that what they think is that what's happening is that the growing crystals, there's so much cholesterol in these plaques, they actually start to crystallize in these needle-like crystals, and that would actually kind of burst the plaque open. So they were able to do this. And the test tubes show that the sharp tips of these cholesterol crystals can kind of cut through the membrane. And again, on autopsy specimens, you can actually see these crystals poking out. So that's why it's critical. That's why dramatically lowering cholesterol levels with a plant-based diet reduces the risk of fatal heart attack, because we can pull cholesterol out of the artery wall, decreasing the risk of crystallization so these, you know, cholesterol needles don't kind of pop your plaque.
That is amazing. In other words, you're saying that these crystals, they're built in, which means that atherosclerosis has a built-in trigger for bringing about our demise.
But, you know, but that it's a slow fuse.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
enables us to calm the inflammation, to pull out cholesterol, and to prevent this from finally happening. The information is only valuable
yeah.
if we take this information and actually do something. It's not just an intellectual exercise that we finally know the mechanism. What we need to do is use this information to inspire us to feed our families healthier.
Okay, the second item on what we don't know today with Dr. Greger is that we know sort of how to prevent a stroke. We have a diet and exercise that sort of helps us along. Is there something we don't know about strokes, Dr. Greger, that we need to know that you've discovered recently?
Now, what we do know about stroke, leading cause of disability,
yeah.
and second leading cause of death worldwide. And all the best studies today found one component, a very powerful component, about foods to reduce our risk, and that is fiber consumption. It turns out that increasing fiber, just 7 grams a day, associated with 7% reduction in stroke risk. Now, 7 grams, that's easy, like a small serving of whole grain pasta with tomato sauce and apple or something like that. You say, well, what's the mechanism? We know fiber lowers cholesterol and blood sugar levels. Or it could just be, you know, we're eating more vegetables, fewer calories, less meat, less fat, you know, all these things associated with eating more fiber, which is only found in whole plant foods. It can improve our digestion, slim us down, lower our blood pressure. But, you know, does it really matter? You know, there's a biblical passage. You know, man scatters seed on the land. The seed sprout opens. How, he does not know. But look, he doesn't wait to find out, right? Had the farmer postponed his sowing until he understood seed germination, right? He wouldn't have lasted very long. Yes. Yes, we need to keep figuring out why fiber is so protective against stroke. But in the meanwhile, we need to start increasing our intake of fiber, which is to say increase our intake of whole plant food.
Very good.
We certainly know now how to prevent high blood pressure with diet, which is the number one risk factor in the world, can be eliminated with a healthy enough diet. Mm-hmm. The most comprehensive and systematic analysis of cause of death ever undertaken was recently published, called the Global Burden of Disease Study, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We've never before been able to see with the kind of granularity in terms of what is killing everyone. And so they can answer questions like, you know, how many lives can we save if we cut back on soda, for example? And the answer they came up with, 299,000 lives every year around the world. So what that tells us is soda isn't just bad because it's empty calories. It's not just, you know, not a health-promoting food. It's an actively death-promoting food. Mm. Of course, not as deadly as bacon, bologna, ham, and hot dogs, which they blame for 800,000 deaths every year, five times more people than all illegal, you know, drugs, illicit drugs combined. But what they also found is what could save lives, not just take lives. So eating more whole grains could save 1.7 million lives a year, more vegetables, 1.8 million lives. And if we only ate more nuts and seeds, 2.5 million lives saved. But fruit, apparently, was what the world needs most. They didn't look at beans, unfortunately, but 4.9 million lives hang in the balance every year. And the cure is not drugs or vaccines. The cure is fruit. Mm. And one reason why plant-based diet can save so many millions of lives is because the number one risk factor in the world is high blood pressure, laying to waste about 9 million people a year. And it's the number one risk factor because it contributes not only to our number one killer, heart disease, but also another leading killer, stroke. In the United States, high blood pressure affects 78 million Americans. That's one in three of us. And as we age, our pressures get higher and higher, such that by age 60, it strikes more than half of Americans. And, you know, if it affects most of us when we get older, you know, a lot of doctors think of it less as of a disease and more just kind of a natural, inevitable consequences of aging. But it's not true. We've known for nearly a century that high blood pressure need never occur. What researchers did, these missionaries, mostly from the United Kingdom down in the 1920s and 30s down in Africa, measured the blood pressure of 1,000 people in rural Kenya who ate a diet centered around whole plant foods, whole grains, beans, vegetables, fruit, dark green leafy vegetables. And, you know, up until about age 40, the blood pressures of these rural Africans are about the same as Europeans and Americans, down about 120 over 80. Mm-hmm. But as Westerners age, their pressures creep up such that by the age 60, the average person is hypertensive, 140 over 90. But what about those not following the Western diet? Their blood pressures actually improved with age. Eating a plant-based diet, not only did they not develop high blood pressure, their blood pressures actually got better as they got older. And so this whole 140 over 90 cutoff is really arbitrary. You know, just like studies show that the lower the cholesterol, the better. There's really no kind of safe level above about 150 for total cholesterol. Blood pressure studies also support this lower the better approach. So even people who start out with blood pressure of 120 over 80, which is supposedly normal, appear to benefit from blood pressure reduction down to about at least 110 over 70s. So having a normal blood pressure can lead people to die of all the normal causes of death, like heart disease and stroke. But again, you look at these plant-based populations, they looked at a rural Kenyan hospital, 1,800 patients admitted. How many people had high blood pressure? Zero. None. And so they must have had low rates of heart disease. No, they had no rates of heart disease. They didn't have low risk. They had no risk. Not a single case of atherosclerosis, our number one killer, was found. So high blood pressure is a choice.
Now, let me ask you a question. I get personal with you, Dr. Greger. What is your blood pressure? What does it run usually? You're a man who knows this stuff and is doing as best he can. You are in a high-stress situation. But what's your blood pressure usually run, Dr. Greger?
My blood pressure usually runs what's considered to be normal. I get about 120 over 80, but that's too high, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want normal blood pressure. I want optimal blood pressure. And so that's why I've taken some steps to kind of go beyond. So if you're eating a healthy diet like I do,
yeah,
and you're still not getting down to the target, which is 110 over 70, then there are some particularly healthy plant foods that lower blood pressure even further in your diet. So that's why I started adding ground flax seeds to my diet. Mm-hmm. So a tablespoon a day has been shown to work even better than the first line of high blood pressure drugs without the negative side effects. And also started drinking hibiscus tea. It's a nice kind of tart, bright, ruby red tea enjoyed around the world, also effective in bringing down blood pressure. And the third thing is nitrate-containing vegetables. So these are vegetables such as beets and dark green leafy vegetables, particularly arugula. So I actually switched from eating like spinach salads to arugula salads, and that extra nitrate can help your body produce this chemical called nitric oxide, which allows your arteries to relax. And so once I did those three additional steps, I do have a family history of stroke. Our blood pressure in the family tend to run high. So for me, just eating a plant-based diet didn't get me down to 110 over 7. I had to do those three additional steps, flax seeds, enjoying hibiscus tea, and the third, consuming more nitrate-containing vegetables, and that finally got me down to the 110s over 70s, right where I want to be.
Wow, that is amazing, because a lot of people at that point in their life would say, you know, give me a statin here. It's time for me to start taking a statin. And doctors would tell them that too, but you're saying there is an alternative.
Right, so statin drugs for cholesterol, just like there's they do a so-called water pill diuretic as the first intervention for high blood pressure. But, you know, most people with high blood pressure, one pill doesn't do it.
Yeah.
People with high blood pressure end up on an average of three separate classes of high blood pressure medications. Mm. There's a regimen, guidelines that are recommending four. Some patients are on as many as five different drugs. And the more drugs you're on, the higher the side effects. And most importantly, you're not treating the cause of the disease. Yes, you can artificially lower blood pressure using drugs, which is important to prevent end organ damage, protecting, you know, the fragile tissues of the eyes and kidneys. So that's important, and lowering your risk of stroke. That's important if there's nothing else you can do to bring it down. But we're not treating the cause, which is these, you know, diseased, damaged, crippled, stiffened arteries, which come about from people eating the standard American diet.
All right, very good. We're talking with Dr. Michael Greger of NutritionFacts.org. We're discussing his latest in Clinical Nutrition DVD, Volume 24. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, Dr. Greger, there is a lot of controversy out there between organic and conventional, and you spent some time in this DVD talking about those things, and what you learned and what I learned may surprise some people as we discover what we don't know with Dr. Greger. So everybody stay right where you are.
As a medical professional, I've seen thousands of patients who have needed something more than modern medicine could offer. Over the past 20 years in cardiology, I've discovered another method of treatment. Hi, I'm Dr. James Markham, and I'd like to introduce you to Biblical Prescriptions for Life. This is a Bible-based program designed to help you and your loved ones improve your health one step at a time. This evidence-based information focuses on relationships that empower change. Simple steps based on scriptures are presented which will change your entire chemistry. This program focuses on changing the chemistry of the entire body rather than isolated chemical pathways. The program has the potential to eliminate the need for prescription medications and prevent chronic disease. Visit heartwiseministries.org to discover more about Biblical Prescriptions for Life. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Did you know that last year in the United States, over 4 billion prescriptions were written? Prescription medications seem to be the most popular treatments these days. But what can we do if we want to limit our exposure to prescription medications? At HeartWise, we recognize the importance of nutrition in treating and prevention of disease. Dr. Hippocrates stated, "Let food be thy medicine." Many evidence-based studies support a whole food, plant-based diet. But how is this achieved in the fast-paced world we live in today? We want to encourage those interested in this type of treatment to watch the documentary film Plant Pure Nation and visit the website plantpurenation.com. This is a great first step towards helping yourself move towards better health and helping make the world a better place. Visit plantpurenation.com to start your journey today. That's plantpurenation.com.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Michael Greger. Then, speaking of whole plant foods, I go shopping every Sunday down at my farmer's market here, and I have a very common question I ask people. I say, is this organically grown? Because to me, it's important. Why should it be important? And more importantly, why should it not be important? What is the real difference between organic and conventionally grown vegetables?
Well, so there's really two questions. Is organic safer and is organic healthier? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to healthier, you know, there's a widespread perception that organically produced foods are more nutritious, you know, more vitamins and minerals. Uh-huh. And it turns out in terms of the conventional nutrients, that's not true. There's no more vitamin C, no more, you know, minerals like potassium in organically grown foods than compared to conventionally grown foods. But what there is more of are these what are called secondary metabolites of plants, these phytonutrients that you won't see on the nutrition label, but are found at much higher levels in organic fruits and vegetables, between about 19-69% more of these antioxidant compounds. And what we think is doing is that these high-dose synthetic nitrogen fertilizers that are added to conventional foods kind of divert more of the resources of the plant to growth rather than producing some of these other some of these antioxidant compounds, which the plant uses as kind of defense. Mm-hmm. And so indeed, these antioxidants, you know, protect the plant, but what about us? What we found is that comparing, for example, organic strawberries to conventional strawberries, if you stack them head-to-head against human cancer cells, the extracts of organically, now this is done in a petri dish, but extracts of organically grown strawberries suppress the growth of human colon cancer cells and human breast cancer cells significantly better than extracts from conventional strawberries. So there's more of these anti-cancer compounds, and it seems to translate out, at least in a laboratory setting, to suppressing cancer growth better. Now, but look, okay, so there's, let's say, 40% on average more of these compounds. But look, you know, organic can be 40% more expensive.
Yes.
And so kind of per dollar, you might not be getting any more of these compounds because, look, you could have bought even more conventional produce because they're cheaper. So that really takes us to the next step, asking, well, wait a second, what about safer, organic foods safer? And in terms of food poisoning bacteria, both organic and conventional animal products, both contaminated with basically the same numbers of these food poisoning bacteria like salmonella and campylobacter. So choosing organic in kind of an animal product setting doesn't seem to make much sense, although there's some less antibiotic resistance. So some of the food poisoning cases caused by organic meat may be able to, you know, be treated easier by doctors, but I would rather people avoid food poisoning altogether.
Yes.
What about pesticides? There's a large body of evidence on the relationship between exposure to pesticides and elevated rates of chronic disease. So there are different types of cancers, diabetes, neurodegenerative disorders like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, birth defects, reproductive disorders, all associated with exposure to pesticides. But these were studies done on people that live or work around pesticides, like in Salinas Valley, California. They spray 500,000 pounds of the stuff. So if you're pregnant in that community, even if you're not picking the fruit or something, just being in that community, there's so much pesticide in the air, it does seem to impair a childhood development. So, for example, women giving birth in these high pesticide areas have children who have about 7 IQ points lower. Mm. So we have 27 studies now, 26 out of 27 also negative effects of pesticides on brain development in children. You say, okay, but what if you live in a city? What if you're far away from these agricultural communities? Now, look, we should all care about the health of farm workers and people that live in these communities, but let's just, for a moment, just think selfishly about what about our own families? What about the pesticide residues that are actually on the foods that we purchase from the store from conventional produce? Mm. And the first studies were done finding that you can actually measure the level of pesticides flowing through your body by measuring pesticide levels in urine, both in children and adults. And indeed, when people go on organic diets, even 80% organic diets, the number of pesticides in their bodies drops dramatically. So we know that the pesticides on the conventional fruits and vegetables do get into our bodies. The question is, what then does it do to us in terms of disease risk? And I think people overestimate the damage that can be caused by pesticides. We do know they are indeed probable carcinogens. We've known that for about 25 years. But cancer rates that we see in people eating conventional versus organic really seem to be limited to a few of the fastest growing cancers, like some of the liquid tumors, like blood cancers. So it turns out that the benefits of fruit and vegetable consumption outweigh the risks of the pesticides. So it's been estimated that if half the U.S. population were to increase fruit and vegetable consumption by a single serving a day, we could prevent 20,000 cases of cancer every year. That's how powerful produce can be. But this was conventional fruit and vegetables. So the pesticide residue, the extra burden from all those extra fruits and vegetables, would result in an extra 10 cases of cancer. So overall, if half of us just ate one more serving of fruits and vegetables, we just prevent 19,990 cases of cancer, right? So you can see there's this tremendous benefit.
Yes.
From eating conventional fruits and vegetables, far outweighs whatever tiny bump in risk we get from the pesticides. But hey, why accept any risk at all when you can choose organic? And I agree, and that's why my family chooses organic whenever we can. But we should never let concern about pesticides stop us from stuffing our face with as many fruits and vegetables as possible.
And then one final question here. You had a section, how many glasses of water a day? What do we not know about this? Really quickly, give me about 60 seconds on this.
Well, I mean, the best information we have is from the Adventist Health Study, which found that men and women drinking 5 glasses of water a day or more cut their risk of heart disease death in half. And, you know, half of those in the study were vegetarians, so they're already getting a lot of liquid from the fruits and vegetables they're eating. But so even people eating healthy would benefit from 5 glasses a day. And so this is defined about 12 ounces, so not 5 cups a day, but 5 glasses. So that'd be about 7.5 cups of water a day. It wasn't for other beverages. We're not talking about beer. We're not talking about coffee. We're talking about just plain water. 5 glasses a day may cut the risk of the number one killer in the United States in half.
Well, now we know, listener. I hope you've enjoyed this program. I know I have. Also, you can get more information about Dr. Greger and a lot more information about what you don't know at nutritionfacts.org. I love going there and watching the videos and listening to Dr. Greger make his presentations. Fantastic stuff. That's nutritionfacts.org. Dr. Greger, always a pleasure. Thank you for stopping by.
Can't wait to come back.
All righty. And until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Michael Greger inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.